interview from the demonstration. It appears like a clear case of police targeting media, as tear gas is normally shot high into the air. The cameraman was not badly hurt, as the projectile only exploded after it ricocheted off his leg. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
It goes under the technical name of European Stability Mechanism, or ESM. It is the Eurozone bailout fund designed to help euro area countries in severe financial distress. The first ESM version was devised in 2012 following Greece's default on its own bonds, which brought the Eurozone at risk of breaking apart with economic instability spreading across the old continent. As Europe faces several challenges to stay afloat, the European Union must devise mechanisms to balance its member states economically. The European Stability Mechanism is a rescue fund for EU member countries that have lost or risk losing market access. In practical terms, it grants conditional financial assistance to states that are on the verge of bankruptcy to mitigate the contagion risks in the bloc.
We, of course, need to remain vigilant. Economic uncertainty remains high and we face numerous headwinds. Events in the US support the EU's choice to apply the Basel Prudential Standards to all our banks, not just the largest one.
In early 2021, the European Commission and all members of the bloc signed a new agreement amending the previous ESM in a way that it prevents small crises from escalating. On Friday, European Economy Commissioner Paolo Gentiloni called on Rome to stop dragging its heels over ratification of the reform. As of today, all EU member countries have ratified the reform, except Italy.
By holding out on ratifying the reform, Italy is maybe attempting to fetch a better deal on the upcoming reform of the EU's set of fiscal rules. Some are even suggesting that parties in Italy's ruling coalition are caught in some sort of political skirmishes over this issue.
On several occasions, Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni has criticized the ESM reform, arguing that the bailout funds should be used also as a vehicle for growth. Some time ago, the leader of one of the right-leaning coalition government's parties, the League's Matteo Salvini, said that approving the ESM changes would mean the ruining of lives for millions of Italians and the end of Italy's national sovereignty on budget issues.
Creating wealth to tackle poverty is our top priority, as Italy has already sold many of its strategic assets and made a huge amount of debt. We must focus on investing now.
While Brussels is urging Italy's approval of the European Stability Mechanism, the examination of the bills for its ratification has been at a standstill in the Italian Parliament for almost a month. Max Civili, Rome.
In the limelight.
According to polls, Biden's approval rating has been net negative since August 2021. Despite Biden's low approval ratings, the Democratic Party has said that it will support his re-election and has no plans to sponsor primary debates. Biden's age has also come under criticism, as he would be 86 at the end of his second term. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Sky News reported Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley has said it is unlikely Joe Biden would make it to the end of a second term. were he to be re-elected to the White House. Biden, 80, announced he was running for re-election in 2024 recently. He is already the oldest president in history. By the end of a second term, Biden would be 86. He announced that he is running again in 2024, and I think that we can all be very clear and say with a matter of fact that if you vote for Joe Biden, you really are counting on President Harris, because the idea that he would make it until 86 years old is not something that I think is likely. Haley said in a Fox News interview recently. She was referring to President Biden's deputy vice president, Kamala Harris, who would take over the presidency if Biden died in office. The vice president featured prominently in a video which launched Biden's re-election bid. Also, RT noted, U.S. President Joe Biden stands little chance of remaining in office until the end of his second term, should he be re-elected next year. Republican presidential contender Nikki Haley has claimed. She further warned that widely unpopular Vice President Kamala Harris could end up at the helm. Speaking to Fox News recently, Haley, a former U.S. envoy to the U.N., and an ex-governor of South Carolina, said that if you vote for Joe Biden, you really are counting on President Harris, because the idea that he would make it until 86 years old is not something that I think is likely. Harris does not enjoy particularly strong popular support. A study published by Statista recently indicated that nearly half of Americans view her performance as vice president either somewhat or very unfavorably. In an interview with Fox News Digital recently, former Democratic Congresswoman turned independent, Tulsi Gabbard, stated her view that Kamala Harris is clearly unqualified to be the commander-in-chief. Gabbard warned the consequences of President Kamala Harris at the helm would be dangerous and catastrophic for the American people and our nation. The 80-year-old Biden officially announced that he would run for a second term in 2024 in a video statement released recently, 4 years to the day after the launch of his previous presidential campaign. He also announced that Harris will remain on the ticket as his vice president. Biden is already the oldest-serving president in U.S. history, and critics have claimed that he no longer possesses the mental acuity to lead the nation. A recent poll published by NBC News revealed that 70% of Americans and 51% of Democratic Party voters did not want him to seek re-election. Another survey by the Associated Press yielded identical results. In both polls, respondents cited Biden's advanced age as the main reason for wanting to see someone else vying for the U.S. top job. Also, former U.S. President Donald Trump unveiled a new nickname for his chief Democratic rival during a campaign event in New Hampshire recently, dubbing the incumbent Crooked Joe days after President Joe Biden officially announced his re-election campaign. Explaining he was relieving his 2016 Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton of her Crooked Hillary, Trump declared, "I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he will be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden." There has never been anyone in the history of American politics so crooked or dishonest as Joe Biden, the Republican presidential hopeful concluded. The 2024 front-runner joked that Clinton was out there someplace celebrating having been relieved of the epithet. He tagged her with 7 years ago, teasing the audience that he would rename his one-time enemy, Hillary. Trump told the audience that a Biden rematch gave voters the chance to choose between strength and weakness, success or failure, safety or anarchy, peace or conflict, and prosperity or catastrophe. "We're living in a catastrophe," he lamented, denouncing his rival as a threat to democracy who doesn't have a clue and vowing to settle our unfinished business. Trump has never stopped claiming he won the 2020 election, dismissing the official totals as rigged. Trump has never stopped claiming he won the 2020 election. While he lost New Hampshire in 2016 and 2020 general elections, Trump won the state's Republican presidential primary in 2016 and held that lead through the convention, shocking establishment favorites such as former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and Texas Senator Ted Cruz. While he remains the clear front-runner in the Republican field, leading his strongest challenger, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, by 32 points, DeSantis, or Ron D. Sanctimonious, as Trump has nicknamed him, has not officially announced his candidacy yet. Trump dismissed the notion of debating his rivals, including former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and New Hampshire Governor John Sununu, suggesting it was beneath him. The first former president ever to be indicted, Trump faces 34 felony counts in New York over his alleged payments of hush money to a star 7 years ago. The candidate and his supporters have denounced the charges as politically motivated persecution, and his campaign took in millions in first-time donations in 48 hours following the indictment.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of Arabic English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Nejad. Please stay tuned.
بالاترین کیفر برای بی تربیت اینه که جوابشو ندی.
The most severe punishment for an insulter is silence against his bad words. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a very beautiful hadith, states, "I swear by Allah who created the seed of plants and humans that a believer can make Allah happy by patience." This means that man can make Allah happy by showing silence and patience against the insult of others. In better words, the best answer to an insulter is silence.
عقابی بدتر برای انسان احمق از سکوت نیست.
Also, Imam Ali alayhi salam states, "The harshest punishment for a silly insulter is silence against his bad words." The lesson that we take from this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam is that we must be patient if we face an insulter, and we must be silent if he or she used foul language against us. Also, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, in a piece of hadith to a man from Basra, stated, "Answer the insult of people with your good words or with your silence." Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRAB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
people squeezed by inflation and demanding economic justice took to streets across Europe to mark May Day in an outpouring of worker discontent not seen since before the worldwide COVID-19 lockdowns. But what is May Day and why is it celebrated on May 1st? Also referred to as International Workers' Day, people across the world commemorate the contributions of workers and the labor movement on this day. Although observed as an ancient Northern Hemisphere spring festival initially, May 1st became associated with the labor movement in the late 19th century, after trade unions and socialist groups decided to designate it as a day in support of the working class people. The decision was taken in memory of Chicago's Haymarket Affair, which took place on May 4, 1886, when a violent clash broke out between the police and labor protesters. The incident happened after a bomb went off at Haymarket Square in Chicago, where the police had arrived to break a peaceful rally. Ultimately, 7 police officers were killed and 60 others were injured before the violence ended. It's estimated that 4 to 8 civilians died and 30 to 40 were wounded. Many of the protesters who were demonstrating against workers' rights violations, long work hours, poor working conditions, low wages, and child labor were arrested and served terms of life imprisonment, death sentences, and so forth. And those who died were hailed as Haymarket martyrs. The Haymarket Affair had a lasting effect on the workers' movement and helped push forward the demands for better working conditions across the world. This year's May Day events unleashed pent-up frustration after 3 years of COVID-19 restrictions. For months, Europe has seen a series of strikes as workers demand higher wages in the face of record-high inflation rates. In the 19-nation euro currency zone, the annual inflation rate was at an all-time high of 10.6% in October. It retreated slightly to 10.1% in November, but that was still the second highest monthly rate since the creation of the euro in 1999. Hundreds of thousands of people massed in cities around France to vent their anger against President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform. Protests took a violent turn as the day progressed, with protesters and security forces clashing. Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin told reporters that at least 108 police officers were wounded, with 291 detained across the country. Protesters threw projectiles at police and broke windows of business buildings, including banks and estate agents in Paris. Security forces used tear gas and water cannons in return. Trade unions had called for more than 300 rallies and vowed to continue fighting even after the changes were signed into law. Protests had started largely peacefully, although police in Paris arrested 22 people, while in Lyon, police used tear gas to disperse crowds after bank windows were smashed. Sophie Binet, leader of the CGT union, said Macron's pension reform had left her isolated.
You just have to look at the procession behind. You can see that today is a historic May Day. There hasn't been such an important May Day in France since 1936, so we can't talk about running out of steam. We can't talk about decay. We can see that this day of mobilization is a stinging denial of all the bets made by the government and of the choice that the government was thinking of making to force us to turn the page.
Protesters mobilized against President Emmanuel Macron's recent move to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Organizers see pension reform as a threat to hard-fought worker rights, while Macron argues it's economically necessary as the population ages.
Canada and one of the largest industrial actions in the country's history. Some 155,000 public workers are on strike in a dispute with the government over pay. While wages are a primary sticking point, the unions also want remote work included in their collective agreement. Cleaners and cooks, clerks and maintenance workers, tradespeople, Coast Guard search and rescue teams, teachers, firefighters, and workers who process employment insurance, passport applications, and immigration documents have now walked out of their jobs.
And I can tell you that we do not have a tentative agreement. The Public Service Alliance of Canada, 155,000 members, will be on strike as of 12:01 a.m. We will remain at the table. We will remain for as long as it takes during the strike. And we will remain on strike until the government addresses our key issues.
The strike has already disrupted public services in various sectors. Lawyers say the strike has affected everyone from refugee claimants whose hearings are cancelled to sponsored relatives stuck in limbo and from migrant workers to foreign students. The workers' union have failed to reach an agreement with the federal government in an effort to bring the industrial action to an end. On Saturday, the Canadian government negotiators presented the striking public workers with what they called a final offer. The Treasury Board, which oversees public administration, said details are being kept to the negotiating table, but the proposal included an enhanced wage offer and addressed issues including telework, seniority, and contracting. In a statement, the Treasury Board called the offer fair, competitive, and reasonable. The offer, however, has so far failed to bring the strikes to a halt. The workers are escalating their strike action in a bid to block several Canadian ports to pressure the government to get their demands met, including raising wages in line with the cost of living crisis and the soaring inflation. This is while inflation in Canada rose to a peak of more than 8% last June. It is expected to remain above 3% until the fourth quarter of this year. The strikes in Canada come as the country is gripped with an unfathomable economic crisis that includes soaring food insecurity. The chief executive of one of the country's leading food banks, the Daily Bread, said hundreds of thousands of people stream in each month to get food.
We are absolutely in a food crisis in the country and certainly in the city of Toronto. Before the pandemic, we saw about 60,000 clients saying, I'm food insecure. And that number this past March is 270,000. It has escalated by four times, and in a country as wonderful as Canada is, it just shouldn't be that way.
Hetherington said of the newcomers to the 128 food banks across the Toronto area affiliated with the Daily Bread, many have full-time jobs but still can't make ends meet. Visitors to food banks in other parts of Canada also echo a sense of despair and need with long queues to get something to eat at food banks. Hetherington said accommodations, both rentals and homes for sales, are out of reach for many Canadians across the country. This comes at a time when a lengthy period of higher rates could force an increasing share of highly indebted Canadians to reset their mortgages at levels that squeeze their finances. But regardless of all the economic hardships the Canadian people are going through, the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spent 1.32% of its GDP on defense in the fiscal year of 2021-2022. Canadian authorities also continue with their pledge to provide Ukraine with military support in its war with Russia. After all, Canada has been one of the most vocal supporters of Ukraine and has provided billions of dollars in financial and military assistance to Kyiv since January 2022. Apart from that, Canada is the sixth largest contributor to NATO's common funded budget by allocating 13.7% of defense spending on major equipment in 2021 and 2022. Canadian authorities claim that the assistance is for Ukraine in what they call its fight for democracy. They, however, know perfectly well that they are using billions of dollars of the Canadian taxpayers' money to inject into a war which does not serve Canada at all and only favors the expansionist policy of the United States. Instead, if this money is allocated to address Canada's internal economic concerns, what else can force more than 150,000 Canadians to walk out of their jobs and call for better pays, which would subsequently disrupt all public services and make public and private sectors dysfunctional? On her first official visit to the Islamic Republic since taking office, Iraqi President Abdel Latif Rashid has visited Tehran to hold talks with Iranian high-ranking authorities. Upon arrival, the Iraqi leader met with President Ebrahim Raisi at the Saadabad complex, where he received an official welcome by the Iranian top executive official. The two sides then held a joint press conference, with boosting bilateral relations between Tehran and Baghdad being the focus of their remarks.
With regards to political, trade and economic issues, as well as the cultural domain, we have so far had good relations in those areas, and both countries are set to further expand their mutual relations.
So it's clear and is a reality that relations between Iran and Iraq are constant and solid and unchangeable.
But enhancing trade relations and economic development was not the only issue discussed between the two presidents. President Raisi and the Iraqi leader also addressed issues concerning regional security.
A security agreement was reached between the two countries, and the slightest insecurity anywhere in Iraq is regarded as insecurity for Iran. So the security of Iraq is very important for us. The security of borders is important to us, and the security arrangements between the two countries can lead not only to the security of both countries, but the security of the whole region.
For his part, the Iraqi leader praised the role of Tehran in providing assistance to the Iraqi people during the rule of former dictator Saddam Hussein and at a time when the Arab country was gripped with foreign-backed terrorism by the Daesh terror group. The presence of foreign forces was also among issues discussed by the two presidents. President Raisi said, "As much as we consider useful the negotiations between the regional countries, we do not consider the presence of foreign forces in the region to be useful, and we regard the presence of Americans as a threat to the security of the region." Raisi said Iran's ties with Iraq and other countries of the region are based on common interests, but Americans only think of their own interests. Later on Saturday, the Iraqi president also met with the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. During the meeting, the leader called on Baghdad to get U.S. troops out of the Arab country, saying even one American soldier on the Iraqi soil is too many. Ayatollah Khamenei said the U.S. is not a friend of Iraq, adding that Washington is not even loyal to its European allies. The visit by the Iraqi leader to Tehran is of very high significance, both concerning Iraq's internal problems and regional and international issues. At a national level, the visit comes at a time when, according to Iran's president, the level of commercial and economic ties between the two countries exceed $10 billion. Not to mention that this figure can upgrade to a much higher level. According to President Raisi, relations between the two countries continue in various fields, including infrastructure, water, electricity, gas, and energy. These are the sectors that Iraq has been suffering the most from during the past couple of decades or so. That especially comes to the spotlight at a time when Iraq is trying to rebuild itself following its 23 U.S. invasion and the eradication of Daesh terrorists from the Arab country. The boosting of economic relations between Tehran and Baghdad not only will bring these two nations closer to each other, it would also help Iraq stand on its own feet after the U.S.-led war and occupation. This will also preserve the sovereignty of Iraq, given that the country has managed to be among those who have exempted themselves from the U.S. sanction measures on the Islamic Republic by continuing its trade with Tehran. After all, Iran plays a great role in developing the Iraqi infrastructure, and the presence of the Iraqi high-level delegation in Tehran can be an indication of that. In a broader perspective, Iraq has been hosting 5 rounds of negotiations between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and along with China, has facilitated the recent rapprochement between Tehran and Riyadh. That is something that would undeniably contribute to security and stability in the region. At an international level, it's not hidden to anyone that the West, namely the United States and its allies, have for decades been sowing discord and division among nations in the West Asia region to fulfill their own political and economic interests. Maybe that's exactly why these West Asian nations have come to an understanding that they should form a coalition and stand in the face of the West and its agenda, which merely aims to divide and conquer.
Iran's English language news channel, Press TV, has been targeted again. The two organizations, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, and the Center for Countering Digital Hate, or CCDH. Their accusation, in their words, Iranian state TV using social media to evade broadcast bans and spread anti-Semitic hate campaigns. That's according to their website. This is a new report that it compiled as proof that Iran's Press TV is guilty of spreading anti-Semitic hate campaigns. And this is the report. It begins with the accusation, which includes this icon, State Hate, how Iran's Press TV uses social media to promote anti-Jewish hatred. It elaborates on this and says that Press TV is a platform used to promote the Iranian state's hateful views of Jewish people, amongst other accusations. So is Press TV guilty of that? Well, for starters, if reporting on the deaths and violations of Palestinians is a crime, yes, it is. Press TV doesn't need to work that hard to cover Israeli atrocities. The Israeli regime does a good job of that, beating Palestinians, killing them, and evicting them from their homes, almost on a daily basis. Furthermore, the current fascist ministers openly threaten Palestinians, like Itamar Ben-Gvir, who has called for the execution of Palestinians who act against Israel, or the Israeli finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, who has called for Palestinians to be wiped out. These are genocidal calls, but the Israeli media or organizations like the ADL do not cover this. However, looking deeper into this, it becomes clear that the driving force behind this attack on Press TV are these two men, Chris Williamson and David Miller. But who are they, and why are they being targeted? ADL's attack on Press TV became clear on why it had accused it of anti-Semitism. It had targeted Chris Williamson and David Miller because of their role in the program Palestine Declassified, as stated here. In terms of the program itself, it sheds light on Israeli atrocities against Palestinians.
But academic studies have found a long-standing pro-Israel bias within the UK's broadcast media.
They're trying to do some propaganda here to bully the BBC, which has been very, very effective.
It's because they are never properly challenged.
As if that is not alarming for the Israeli regime, the host and producer both have a rich bio when it comes to their views on Palestinians. Christopher Williamson is a British politician who was a member of Parliament for Derby North from 2010 to 2015 and again from 2017 to 2019. He's been associated with many British politicians like Jeremy Corbyn. And because of this, he has also been targeted for his role as a British MP, where he was stripped of his parliamentary pass.
Yeah, well, the first I heard about it was when I was contacted by a British newspaper called The Daily Mail. It's an absurd proposition. I mean, it's, because people may have objections to the Iranian government.
For ADL, having a former British MP hosting a TV program for Iran's Press TV exposing Israeli atrocities is just too much to bear. Then comes David Miller, former professor at Bristol University, producer and co-host of Press TV's Palestine Declassified. He was fired from the university since he said Israel is a violent, racist, foreign regime engaged in ethnic cleansing.
Because there's a huge amount of documentation going along with the case, and that's where we will find whether the university has wrongfully dismissed me, and also whether the court will determine that I was discriminated against on grounds of my political beliefs, which is the claim that we're making.
Press TV is proud to defend the rights of Palestinians and oppressed people anywhere in the world. It has done so through its inception 17 years ago, and the station has been successful in reaching the voice of the oppressed people of Palestine to the world. Even ADL admits the incredible reach of Press TV, that although it was banned from TV and YouTube, it continues to reach up to 11.5 million followers. While Press TV enjoys this high exposure, ADL's post on Twitter had a measly 26,400 views with only 78 likes. So at the end, we ask, who is winning the social media war?
Could the turmoil in Israel prove to be terminal for the Zionist entity?
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Rohullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome. And how are you, Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's good. Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I really welcome you all. So, inshallah, today we will talk about the two verses on Surah Ali Imran on page 61, ayah number 89, and also ayah number 90. So, brothers and sisters, as you listen to IRIB English Radio, please turn to page 61 of the Quran Kareem. Have it with you. And ayah 89 and 90. So, okay, lesson ones. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون. So, everybody, let's listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون.
That was nice recitation. Okay, let's everybody now mention the important points in these two verses, okay? Allah Almighty says in ayah 89, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In the previous verses, Allah Almighty was talking about the murtadin, yes? So those who commit irtidad, yeah, apostasy, and they disbelieve after they believe, yeah? So their punishment was that, what we mentioned, لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, yes? And here Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, okay? Except for those who what? For those who? Huh? تَابُوا. They turn back. Yes? They turn back. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا. Except such as repent. Such a person, okay? Who repents after that. After what? They disbelieved. Okay? After they retired that. They make repentance. وَأَصْلَحُوا. And they make what? Amends or good deeds. Mm-hmm. They become good people, okay? They become believers, true believers. They do not do it like tomorrow, day after tomorrow, okay? They again turn back to disbelieving group of people, yes? No, they do good deeds, okay? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. For Allah, because Allah is all forgiving and all merciful. Okay? So Allah may forgive them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Now another group of people. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. Indeed, For sure, those who turned faithless after their faith, they were faithful and they turned faithless, okay? They disbelieved after they believed. بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا ثم ازدادوا كفرا. They advance in faithlessness and their disbelieving, okay, increases, okay, instead of being doing good deeds and making repentance, okay, they increase the advance in being faithless, okay. These type of people لن تقبل توبتهم, never their repentance will be accepted. The repentance will never be accepted, okay? وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الضَّالُونَ. And it is they who are the astray. It's they who are the astray, those who are the wrongdoers, okay? The wrongdoers, or we say they, misguided people. So guys, Allah Almighty mentioned the punishment of someone who is disbelieving after they believe, yes, different groups of people, some of them who repent after their disbelieving, okay, after their irtidad, some of them who do not, yes. Those who repent and they become good people, yeah, Allah Almighty may forgive them. And those who do not repent, they just increase on their faithlessness, Allah Almighty will never forgive them, okay, their tawbah, even if they repent, because they know they are just joking with Allah Almighty, yes, they are just trying to making fun of the Prophet, making fun of the Islam, making fun of the Iman, okay? Because why do they do so? Why do they make repentance after they disbelieved? It's because they see that they have nothing else, they have no help, they become helpless, okay? That's why they start believing again, okay? Otherwise, if they have everything, if they have car, if they have money, if they have a house, okay, if they have buildings, if their life is going well, okay, they will never repent. But when they face challenges, difficulties, they say, forgive me, Allah. Munibina ilayhim, okay? Munibina ila rabbihim, okay? Tadarru', they will do, they will ask for repentance, okay? If they face problems, otherwise, no. They will, when we ask them, who is Allah? I don't know Allah, who is Allah? When they are in good mood, okay? When they have money, when they have everything ready, okay? They will never talk about Allah. Even a single rakat of prayer, they will not do. But when they face a lot of difficulties, okay? They go to the masjid, they become good people, they ask Allah to forgive them, they donate these things. Come on, bro, this doesn't work, okay? If you do not, after Allah Almighty solves their problem, again they become disbelieving to Allah Almighty. So this type of people are just making fun of the religion, fun of repentance, fun of Allah Almighty. So لَن تُقْبَلْ تَوْبَتُهُمْ وَأُولَيْكَهُمُ الضَّالُ. May Allah Almighty guide us, inshallah. May Allah Almighty give us a strong belief when we say اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It does not mean Allah guide us to the right path, we are on the wrong path. No, we are on the right path, okay? But it means that Allah Almighty make our belief stronger. We should stay here in the right path, okay? Make this dua, inshallah, always. Thank you so much. Guys, I don't want to talk more. I ask you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more and details, for more detailed explanations, inshallah. قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran. Now we will move on to the important Tajweed rules. And Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir are here, inshallah, to help us. Yes?
Yes.
إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا Ali Nasir earlier asked me a question that what is that alif doing in these types of words? Kafaru, thumazdadu, yes? There is an alif after it, yes? Tabu, after a while there is an alif. Aslahu, there is an alif, yes? In the next word, kafaru, there is an alif. Thumazdadu, there is an alif after waw. Yeah? Ali Nasir asked me this question. Yes, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Before the class you asked me.
Yeah.
So I will mention it here. That alif is a silent alif. You don't have to read it. Okay? Some say this is for decoration. Some say that this is there just to make sure. Sometimes some words are muthanna, tathniya words, okay? They will be mixed up with them. So that's why this alif is there, okay? And it doesn't have anything to do really, okay? You can skip. You should skip it, okay? There is a sukun on the top, which means don't read this alif. Kafaruwano. Okay?
Yes.
Ya'tabuwano. There is no alif, okay? Suppose there is no, okay? Ignore it. Ignore it, just. Illa alladhina tabu min ba'di. Min ba'di. Do you see, Hassan, a baby meme, a small meme on the top?
Yes.
Noon. Min ba'di, yes? Min ba'di. So that says, indicates that the rule iqlab must be applied here. Min ba'di. Noon sakin plus ba. What do you do?
Min ba'di.
Min ba'di. Good job. Change the noon into a hidden meme sound. The ikhfa of meme. Can you pronounce meme? Say it, meme.
Meme.
The last letter in the word meme is meme, yes?
Yes.
Meme, meme, ya, meme, meme. So now, read it, meme, but the last meme, do not read it. When you say meme, your lips touch. Yeah?
Yes.
Your lips. Two lips touch. Mm. Upside, up, the upper one and the lower one. They touch. But when you say, try this way, do not let your tongue and your lips touch, okay? Just pronounce the meme, but do not let them. Meme, meme, do not let the lips touch. Huh? Put a tissue between your lips. This is called ikhfa. Ikhfa. Sorry, iqlab. Okay? Iqlab means you change the noon sound into a hidden meme sound this way. Do not hide the sound of noon. Replace it with a meme with a hidden meme sound. But with a hidden meme sound. Read everyone. من بعد ذلك
من بعد ذلك
أحسنتم وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم نون مشدد فإن نون مشدد الله is pronounced with a heavy sound. There is a fatha before because of that. غفور رحيم را They will be merged, okay? Tanween will be merged with the Ra Idgham is applied. Afurur Rahim. Next ayah. Innal ladhina kafaru ba'da imanihim thumma izdadu. It is the word izdadu. Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped when you join two words. Thumma izdadu. Thumma izdadu. Kufran. Tanween plus lam. Tanween plus lam. Merging idgham, but without ghunna, yes? No nasal sound, just merge them. And do not prolong it for two counts, just one count, just merge them together. ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا لَن تُقْبَلَ لَن تُقْبَلَ نون ساكن plus ta ties from the rest of the letters. حسن, the rule?
إِخْفَى,
good job. لَن تُقْبَلَ hide the sound of noon. Hiding means do not correctly pronounce it. Okay? Hide the sound of noon. لَن تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَتُهُمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ Of course, the mad is wajib. We've mentioned it many times. هُمُ الضَّالُونَ This mad is maddul lazim mandatory. Because you have a heavy letter. After a heavy letter, you have a mad. And after that mad, you have?
تَشْدِيد
يَا مُشَدَّد letter. A letter which is mushaddad. So this mad is mandatory. Six counts. I will read this to ayatain, inshallah. Repeat after me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم.
إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم.
إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون.
إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us up to this point. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's it from us for today. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for Corporations. Thank you so much, brothers, for being with us. Hassan Ali Nasser and Hussein. See you, inshallah. Nothing to say?
No,
Allah bless you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevilla International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.